Peace of the Lord be with you. This morning, I'd like to dedicate the sermon to my friend Cindy Burris. Before I introduce you to Cindy, I want to take us back to last Wednesday, my little halftime speech. I asked a question at halftime. Why do we study? I mean, really, why are we here? Why does Hope College exist? And I suggested that you were here to be a student, to learn, to explore the wonders and delights of history, of the arts, of science, of education, that you have the opportunity for the leisure of learning, and that learning prepares you for a life of service. And to get us there, we listened from the creed we've been learning from the first chapter of Colossians. And this morning, I want to just go right back into that and listen, if we can. Close your eyes and hear these words from the Apostle Paul. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things came into being through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Why are we here to study? Last week at halftime, I suggested that the answer has something to do with Christ. Because, as this creed says, all things, not some things, not just the spiritual things, not just chapel things, but all things hold together in Christ, which suggests to us that politics and education, our sexuality, our gender, our relationships, our families, all things, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers, but all things have something to do with Christ. That the kingdom of God has a large circumference, but every circumference has a center, and the center holds because the center is Christ. I am suggesting that why we exist as Hope College, why you are here as students, has something to do with Christ, who created all things. 6 times in 5 verses, all things, all things, all things, all things, all things, says Paul. Not some things, not just the spiritual things, not just the things I want to give my attention to, but all things have some relationship and resonance to Christ. And I suggested that not only is there a relationship between that we study all things and we exist to explore the wonders of creation because Christ created them, but also because Christ redeemed them. Because it doesn't take us long to walk along this world to recognize that things are not the way they're supposed to be. That the context in which we live and move and have our being is a context full of wonders of delight, but also a world that has fallen. That we are sinful. I am sinful. You are sinful. Our cultures are sinful. Our institutions are sinful. That there is nowhere we can go where our desires do not curve in upon themselves. Christ created all things, but the creed also reminds us that Christ has also redeemed all things. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth by making peace through the blood of the cross. In other words, why we exist and why you are here as a student is not just because Christ created all things, but because God's mission in the world, God's activity in this world, has reconciled all things by making the peace through the blood of the cross, that the cross has something to do with science. The cross has something to do with the humanities. The cross has something to do with your relationships. The cross has something to do with your roommates. The cross has everything to do with what God is doing in this world. And what God is doing in this world is bringing about reconciliation so that justice is not something that we have to do by our own strength or our own will, but it's an activity in which God has accomplished. And the more that we're in rhythm to Christ, The more our desires get not curved in upon themselves, but curved in the right way, directed towards God. I suggested that we are here to study, that we exist as a college, not just to enter the pipeline of privilege, to get your degree and get it stamped and so you can get a good job with money. And that's fine. But I'm suggesting that we're here to be part of something much larger and much more profound, that we are participants in something that God is doing in the world, and that something has everything to do with a relationship to Christ. Why do we study? Because Christ has created all things, and Christ has redeemed all things. And this is the foundation of an education rooted in the historic Christian faith. That is why we exist. That is why you're here as a student. At least that's why I hope you're here. And that's at least what I pray is happening here at the college. That the kind of renewal and revival I long for and pray for is something that doesn't simply reside in a chapel, but it is experienced profoundly in the classroom and in the soul of what we teach and how we teach. That we take seriously this world because God takes it seriously. So much so that he died for it. That's why we are here, I think. I long for that kind of hope because I think that kind of hope would really be hope for the world. This morning, I want to ask the same question, but from a little different angle. Why do we study part two? This is my second part time two halftime speech. I don't have a whistle this time. If anyone was here last week and if you were startled by that whistle, no one was more startled than I was. Actually, I blew it too loud and I freaked myself out. I'm not a good coach, so I don't know the technique. I need to take that class because I'm sure Christ has reconciled even how to blow a whistle. This morning, I want to ask the question, what difference does it make if I study? If we study because Christ created all things and Christ redeemed all things, what difference does it make? If Christ has redeemed all things, what does it really matter if I stay up late and work hard for that test or really craft that sentence or really try to master this material? What difference does it make for you as a Christian? Why should you work so hard as a student? Does it really matter? And my answer is yes, I think it does. I think it matters a great deal. And there's another verse from Colossians I love a lot that I'd like to have you put in your back pocket. It's Colossians 3:23. Say it with me, Colossians 3:23. And Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. I want just that first part, say with me. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord. One more time. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord. Whatever your task, not just some tasks, not just the tasks you want to do, but maybe some of those you don't want to do. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord. Your task, my friends, is to be a student, is to learn, is to explore, is to ask hard questions and to wrestle with the very assumptions of what it means to be human. Your task is to take seriously this call and this opportunity that has been given to you. Pour your heart and soul into it. And when I read this verse, I aspire to be a student like my friend Cindy Burris was a student. My friend Cindy, this is my friend Cindy. She was a student with me at the University of St. Andrews. Cindy Burris was that kind of person. She was about 4'9", but she had the intellect of a giant. Of all of my contemporaries, Cindy Burris was the brightest and the brightest star, rising star in the theological world that I knew. She died last week in California after a long, long battle with Crohn's and MS and another immune deficiency. But she was beautiful. And one of the things that I loved about Cindy is that she loved to study. She did everything as unto the Lord. She studied as a way of worship. She believed so thoroughly in this work that God was pleased to do through Christ, reconciling all things to the blood of her cross, that she was going to spend her limited days, for she knew that her days were numbered. She was going to spend what days she had to study and explore that mystery so that she could communicate it passionately to others. She was 4'9", but she was a giant. I remember we were dancing at a Kaylee. And when I heard the news 2 days ago that she had passed away, I just knew that she was still dancing now with Christ. My side of the world is a little less dim without Cindy in it. But when she was in it, when she was your age, when she was in college, she was the kind of person that inspired you to study, because what she did unto the Lord, and all that she did and how she did it. You are given this rare opportunity, one of the top 1% in the world that gets to have a college education, that gets the leisure to think and to read and to reflect. And you get to do this all in the context of the God who created all things, in the context of a God who holds all things together. And it is this rare opportunity that you have, even at midterms, to take this and do this unto the Lord, for that is who you serve. Because you don't study for your parents, and you don't study at the end of the day for your professors or for their approval. You serve Christ. We are here in body and soul, in life and in being, to prepare ourselves to take responsibility in the world that God loves. And when you take that responsibility joyfully upon yourself, I think that you do so unto the Lord. And when you do it in that spirit, you're broken open and you're pushed out into the wild world of God's salvation, and you reflect God's grace to the world. You get to be a student right now. You get to have relationships together right now. You get to do all of this in the context of worship of the Christ who made all things. And my pep talk for you is that as we head into March and into the rest of this year, we do so with the knowledge that all things came into being through Christ, but also that Christ has redeemed all things. Bring that knowledge to your classes. Bring that knowledge and love to your assignments, to your friendships. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. For Christ is who you serve, who we serve together. And when we do this together as a community, as Kate talked about on Monday, we embody the hope that is worthy of our name. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be students, to learn about all that you have made and all that you have redeemed. When we get it wrong, God, forgive us and help us to know how to forgive. Help us to take seriously your work in the world, which is always the work of reconciliation. Forgive us when we try to jump ahead. Forgive us when we go about whatever we're doing without the joy and knowledge of you. Lord, we pray for a renewal and revival of this college, that in every place we would do whatever we do as unto the Lord, whether that's in chapel or the classroom or in the athletic field or in our dorm room or on the sidewalk or at Montjules, whatever it is, Lord. We seek to serve you in our life and in our death. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Go in peace, my friends.